Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fiber and they're better for you unsaturated fats, which help you keep feeling fuller longer, Ashley. And you know what? That's not the best part. Wonderful Pistachio comes in a variety of flavors. If you know, Ashley and I are addicted to, well, you're addicted to the salt.
Sea salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to the honey roasted. They come in different sizes and it's perfect for enjoying with your family and friends. So whether you're dropping the kiddos off, going in between exams, or maybe you're getting ready for the indoor season, you can fuel up with this wonderful snack. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can brighten up your day. Without further ado, Ashley, who do we have? I know I already spoiled it.
You did spoil it already. Well, today we have Graham Blanks joining us. As most of y'all probably already know, he broke the NCAA indoor 5K record over the week at the BU opener. He ran 13:03.72 and just a crazy race. You know, a couple weeks ago, he won the NCAA Cross Country Championships, the first time we've ever seen, an athlete from the Ivy League on the men's side win that race. So we're just excited to have Graham here, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, okay, so I feel like obviously we got to start off with the obvious news that happened this weekend. 13:03.72, basically just, if you're looking at that race, you ran away from that field over probably like the last 800 meters or so. You know, take us through that race approach and, also just break down how you're able to run that record-breaking time.
I mean, it was pretty hard not to on that day. I mean, been training since July or June and had perfect pacing, perfect track, perfect competition, and an amazing crowd. So just, like I said, we got pulled through 3K perfectly by the Pacers. And then, Kai Robinson and Sam Atkin did a lot of the heavy lifting instead of myself. So, it was nice. And the last 400 meters I saw, we were close to that Olympic standard. So I was just kind of like, let's just go for it. And thankfully snuck under there.
Okay, so coming off of NCAAs and you already knew the field that you were stacked against, did you almost feel like you had a sense of pressure to win it, just knowing just a few weeks ago you won NCAAs?
Not really. I mean, there might have been a little bit of external pressure, but I try not to put too much pressure on myself. I mean, in the end, I'm just an NCAA runner, and I was just going in there to try to get a qualifier for NCAAs. So if I finished 10th in that race, obviously I wouldn't be over the moon, but as long as I got that qualifier, I would have been happy. So just having the opportunity to go on race was enough for me. And I didn't feel too much of that pressure. And thankfully, I got to run a fast time.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit for a second, I think, just about your progression. Now, if you look at what you did last year at this meet, you ran 13:18, great time, but now you go here, you're having, you had the best cross-country season of your career here, and now you run 13:03, 5K record. Talk to us a little bit what that progression has been like for you and maybe, how you're feeling now with where your season is going. Obviously, now you'll kind of, take a breather before you really ramp it up into indoor, but talk a little bit about that progression.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty, obviously pretty unusually quick, I'd say, for a lot of the people that I, a lot of my opponents, I'd say, you know, going from 13-18 to 0-3 in a year, that's something I have to credit to my coach. I mean, I've always thought I would have the ability to run that time, but to actually get there, you know, that's in the training. And, you know, Coach Gibby got me there. And it's been something that's been good the past year has been some consistency in training. You know, my body has been holding on for once, so knock on wood, it'll stay like that, because I think the longer you can stay on your feet with my coach's training, the better. And obviously that goes with anyone's training, but in particular, I've been feeling really good the past year. I've been able to put in some good workouts, and then, you know, it obviously helps to have BU in your back door, right in your backyard. So that's definitely something I credit to my improvement, as well as to have everyone in the NCAA come to campus once a year.
Yeah, talk about that for a second. Okay, I kind of want to know, because everyone's always like, BU so fast. Why do you think it's so fast?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I mean, at first I thought it was just like a placebo effect. Like, I was injured freshman indoor year, so I got to go watch the races and stuff. I'm like, it's BS. Like, everyone just comes here. You know, everyone runs fast. Like, everyone's seen the videos of Yomif Kajelcha running here. Like, whatever. Like, once I get on this track, I'm going to run fast, like, just because I believe in it. But then I remember after a race my freshman year when I was still injured, I just took a walk on the track, and I got bounced up a little bit each step. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. This track is amazing. So I definitely say the bounce helps a lot. I mean, the banks are obviously, like, I've seen like research papers written on it. I didn't read the whole thing. Maybe I just read the abstract, but I know the banks are, like, for some reason, optimal for distance races. But yeah, I mean, I do still think it's the competition is that what it makes it so fast. I mean, when everyone agrees to show up to one track for the entire indoor season, like, you know, there's going to be quick times, but it doesn't hurt to have a track that's made out of trampolines and optimal banks.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to find that research paper, yeah. I think, just to dive into that.
We need
now
to look
curious.
Into that a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Graham, as I mentioned before we went live, Ashley and I were at NXN, so we're literally in the Airbnb watching your race, and we're just, like, screaming at our computer screens. There was one point, so it's the last 400 meters. I don't know if you remember this, or there were certain points, like the last 1K, it almost looked like you were inching, like, to make moves, but you didn't necessarily made them yet. It was not until you lapped the Alabama runner when you went wide, and then that's when you decided to go. What kind of led to that decision? Was it just that optimal window that you saw, and you're like, since I'm already out here, I might as well go? Or just walk us through, what was that move like for you at that time?
Yeah, I mean, I knew going into the race I'd want to go with, like, anywhere between a K to 400 meters, just depending how I felt. I'd say if I remember correctly that, you know, the pace was still pretty hot the last K, so I wasn't really too pressed on taking the lead to ensure a fast time or anything. But I knew if I wanted to, like, my best shot at winning the race, it'd probably be 400 meters out at the minimum to make my move. So. I think it was Victor Kiprop that we passed, but yeah, I mean, I think those are usually good times to make moves when there's those little discontinuities in the race. You can kind of get a jump on the field. So when I saw him coming up on the track, I was like, okay, this is probably when we need to go, because he was in lane one. You know, Sam Atkin had to move out into lane two, and I'm like, well, if we're moving out, I might as well just go now. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, just tried to hit the gas for home. I wasn't really even looking at the clock at that point. I just knew it would be fast if I could get there quick enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then describe that moment. You know, you finish, you look at the clock, 13:03, the energy in there, I'm sure, was crazy. You take a bow, talk about that whole moment and stuff, and, you know, what went down there once you finish.
Yeah. I figured it was time to finally do something a little flashy, or like a little bit of at least a slither of showmanship, because I haven't really had the best celebrations or anything. just paying my respects to the crowd. I don't know. I thought that would be a classy enough celebration in the moment, but the crowd is great there. So I think that was the best way to recognize that, at least.
Okay, first. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because I have a side tangent real quick. I have a question to ask you. Okay, I have to know, like, maybe I'm just, like, old. I mean, I'm 23, but maybe I'm just too old and not with the times. But, like, what's with the hand signal that you do at the start line? I know you did it at NCAAs, and then you did it at NXN as well. I've seen it all over no content, but I kind of have to know.
Yeah, don't worry. It's definitely not what the cool kids are doing. It's just something I've always done. In fact, it's kind of weird. I don't know. I just did it at the NXN. That was the first time I was at a race, and all of a sudden a camera got put in my face. So I think I maybe like an uncle or something taught me that at Thanksgiving, because I know NXN's a couple of weeks after that. But yeah, I just stuck with it because, you know, my friends back home thought it was funny. So, you know, it's fun to do when the camera's coming by, and especially in those big races at the NCAA meets, you know, I'm nervous, my teammates are nervous. It's a good way to cut the tension a little bit, maybe even look forward to being on the line, which is probably the worst part about running, is stepping up to that line, waiting for the gun to go off. So, yeah, I think I'll keep that thing in the rotation until the end of my career, unless I find a better magic trick that I can pull out before a race.
That's another question I have. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the magic side of you, the magician side? I heard that's something that you're kind of into, and now you just brought it up. So how did that kind of get started for you?
No, I'm not. nothing is magic about me. I want to make that clear. This is just a little trick I learned. So I hope that I can make myself look magic in my races, but all I can do is pull my thumb off every now and then. So
are you into magic,
yeah,
though?
I,
are you into it, though? Like magic just as
not,
a whole?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, I watched the movie The Prestige. I'm not sure if y'all have heard of that movie.
Yes. Yes.
I would recommend. Okay. Yeah. It was a good movie. So, that's about as deep into the magic industry that I've gone. So
I gotcha.
Pretty shallow, but that was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to take it back a little bit because you just mentioned like you've been training since July. It's already, it feels like probably for you already long season. You're going through finals right now. After your performance at NCAAs, how are you just feeling mentally and physically just kind of after that cross country season and then going into BU?
Yeah, honestly, pretty ready to just wrap it up at that point. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, in an ideal world, I would love if the free market shifted the fastest 5K actually into the indoor season instead of before it. So, but you know, you gotta show up where everyone else is. So, and obviously there's some amazing pros to running a race, right away. You know, you get to use that cross country base, and all of that. But you know, after NCAAs, I was kind of just ready to go ahead and, kind of take a rest. I wasn't burnt out or anything, but, you know, I basically accomplished my goals. So, you know, just getting to run a collegiate record was really a cherry on top. And, you know, not something I was like passionately burning for or anything. You know, I just wanted to qualify for NCAAs. But, you know, getting to run an Olympic standard, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing I take away from that race. So that's exciting to have in my back pocket going into the rest of the track season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw too that you said, I believe in one interview, no internships this summer. You're going to be trying to qualify for the Olympics. So now that you have that standard, is that something you're kind of just real? Maybe is that more in the back of your mind now too?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely kind of solidifies what I'm doing this summer. I mean, normally I would seek something to keep me busy, but that's such a, I mean, the Olympic trials are such a late meet that I don't think I would take any big job or anything. I'll probably continue to, I actually work, I'm a research assistant with a professor at the business school named Paul Gompers, who is a really accomplished runner here as well. So it's fun to like get to talk to him after all my races and stuff. So maybe he'll let me stay on board this summer so I can stay in Boston with Gibby and just get ready for the trials.
Awesome. And Graham, I have to know, because you've just had a tremendous season already, winning NCAAs, you know, breaking the indoor 5K NCAA record. Which performance do you think really just is, I know you just said icing on the cake, but like which one do you feel like really just puts that punch to the season already for you? Which one would you say stands out the most?
NCAAs. Championships, yeah. last forever, you know.
Yeah.
That record will probably be gone, and you know, I'm not a betting man, but I would I'd say a good line is 1 year over under for that record. So, NCAA is only getting faster, and you know it's exciting, and I hope that I'm inspiring some at least other Americans to run fast, because you know, I think we're entering a pretty fast age of track. So, but championships, they last forever. So I'm happy with the NCAA performance.
Love that. That's true. Fair answer. All right, right before we let you go, we always ask our guests this like one question. Track or cross country, which one do you like better and why?
Cross country. I mean, I love, I recognize that, I mean, it's about as good as it gets with the NCAA. I mean, for cross country, like one of the biggest stages is the NCAA. I mean, obviously you have world cross country, and then I feel like the British people have some good stuff going on over there. But in terms of like the team dynamic, I mean, it's just, I feel like it's unmatched. So I'm really trying to soak up everything about the cross country experience, because it is a lot of fun to, you know, train with the guys in the fall and the summer and race for each other. You know, track has that same feel, and it's really cool to also be able to be teammates with people that aren't doing your same events or training. But you know, cross country is obviously just like a distance runner's dream. So, I do like that more, just with the team aspect. But don't get me wrong, I love track as well.
Awesome. Well, I love all of that. Graham, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're having your finals week, so wishing you all the best with finals and as you continue the season. We're excited to see what you do.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Graham.
You too.
Awesome. How wonderful it was to see Graham Blakes after, you know, grabbing the NCAA title and then breaking the indoor 5K NCAA records. Super spectacular. He wasn't the only one that broke records at
no.
the BU opener. Goodness gracious. Parker Valby.
Goodness. I don't know what to say.
I'm speechless.
However, was it really that much of a shock? Really? I don't know.
I think for me, it's just like the fact that it was like the first indoor race.
Well, think about it. They're coming off of their fitness from cross country.
I get it, but still, that's still moving, like fast.
Anyways, let's break down what happened here in this women's 5K at the BU opener. You have Parker Valby. We have some video here of her finishing that race. She becomes the first woman in NCAA history to ever go under 15 minutes for 5K in indoors. She clocks 14:56.11, and here you are. You can see her just, I mean, look at this crowd energy here. And she was just, I mean, she was on a tear.
Just incredible. And everyone's just like on their feet. You can see people clapping and cheering. And even just, like I mentioned, we were at NXN and we're watching this. And it's just like, you can hear the emotion in the room of everyone jumping. Oh, I
like,
love this celebration
yeah.
too. It was just like, she knew exactly where to go after, ran straight and was hugged and was celebrated. Like 14:56 is incredible.
Yep. And I mean, it destroys, you know, the top performances all the time. If you're looking at number two, that's Emily Sisson there. She ran 15:12 in 2015.
Yeah.
14:56, which now makes you wonder, of course. I mean, obviously, they're coming into this off their cross-country fitness.
Right.
This is kind of that ideal time to run something really fast. But, like, now it makes you wonder, like, what else is she going to do this indoor season?
Literally my next question for you is, what are we going to see from her now?
Could we see her drop to the 3K and go after a record there?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Are we there's a lot at play.
And it's just, like, the fact that she ran that, and it was just remarkable. And then the second fastest collegiate was Hilda Uomayo from Alabama, 15:17. And it was just, like, insane to even think about. And that's why I'm, like, my brain is just, like, spinning, and I know you bring up a valid point of, like, they're coming off great fitness right now with cross country. Graham even mentioned, like, he's exhausted. Like, these athletes have been training. They're ready for a break. You know, the holidays are coming up, kind of reset. You know, distance runners kind of running a couple of indoor meets here and there, focus more on outdoor. But she is fit. Like,
yeah. However, I find it interesting that, like, I listened to an interview afterward, I think, or I saw something maybe on Twitter or something like that, where she said, you know, afterwards, she didn't think she was at that kind of fitness level. She thought maybe it would even hurt to run 15:20. Let's remember, I think, you know, when we were previewing this, we were like, Parker Valby, she hasn't raced much indoors in her career because she was injured much of last year. You know, again, had been dealing with injuries and hadn't done much indoor. And so, I think that was her second time competing at BU. And so I thought that was really, really interesting that she thought she couldn't run 15:20 maybe, and then she runs 14:56.
It's incredible what energy in a venue can do. And
true.
Having the right coaching, the right atmosphere, and the fitness level can all just, like, help make that easier, which
yeah.
is super
And it does
incredible.
Make a difference, I think, that, you know, the having a crowd like that, some competition like that, too. Again, you have, like, all the, you know, the top All-Americans from NCAA Cross coming here and competing as well. And, you know, the BU track, it's newly resurfaced.
Yes. So that also does help.
Those are all great little factors playing into their favor.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. All right. I know we just spoke with Graham, but I feel like we need to watch the end of his video as well. It was just, I remember screaming at the computer screen.
We were at the Airbnb in Portland, and we were watching. And this was an interesting race. So, like, kind of what Graham said, he really let Kai Robinson and, you know, some of the Pacers just do all the work from him at the very beginning. And it really wasn't until maybe 1K or 800 meters where you can see him. You saw him slowly inching up.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, this is when all of a sudden he starts to hit another gear with 400 to go, with two laps to go. He just takes off.
Yes.
And, you know, again, that was such a very interesting race. And, as you can see, you
he
know, literally
so
sprinting.
Good right now. Like, the form isn't breaking. He looks very strong in these closing few meters.
Obviously, the race approach worked perfect to a T there.
Awesome.
At one point, I think it was at this point, I was like, will he break 13? He was close.
He was close.
He was
and
close.
I think you did say that, too. And you can see his teammates just, like, wheeling him in to go and to keep going. And the energy was just out of this world. What's impressive is not only did...
There's the bow.
There's the bow. Love it. Mm-hmm. Clenching of the fist. He knew he did it. What is really impressive is... Not only did Graham Blanks go underneath the NCAA record, but Kai Robinson did as well with 13:06. Absolutely insane race. And we talked about the Olympic standard, and Kai, bittersweet moment for Kai. You know, running as fast as he did, just a second off of the Olympic standard, which is 13.
He also went under that previous record of 13:08 too. So he broke the that record.
Yes, yeah. They went 1-2 there.
And kudos to him because again, like I mentioned, he did a lot of that work for the majority of that race. You know, sitting behind those Pacers, and then once they dropped, I mean, he was leading that entire thing.
Exactly. Still hung in there. Great run for both gentlemen. It's just. Gosh, the indoor season is just starting, and it's already getting
and
so
And I did
exciting.
Find it interesting, and when we were talking with Graham, he was like, I give it 1 year, and that record will be gone.
Do you believe that?
Shoot, it could even go down this year. Who knows? I mean, we just saw Kai Robinson run 13:06, only 3 seconds back.
Yeah.
It would just depend on the, you know, what kind of race you get in. You're probably not going to see that at a championship level meet, because it's going to all come down
very,
to tactics.
Yes, very tactical.
So that was probably the chance, but yeah, maybe... Probably this meet next year.
That's why I was really excited to ask him, like, if, well, he kind of answered my own question, because I was curious if he was, like, with that pressure of running NCAAs, mm-hmm. you know you're about to line up against, you know, essentially the top finishers at NCAAs. Are you going for a fast time? Or are you trying to get the win here to, like, solidify, like, hey,
See,
I'm
this
that
is
dog.
The meet where you're getting that time.
He's like, I'm going for the time, and... I feel like when you have that mentality of just, like, kind of going after it, the times are going to come. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Kai just did a great job of, you know, putting in all the work and setting himself up great. Blanks just had the kick.
It was the kick, and then, yeah, just the tactics of, like, knowing when to put that kick into place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, recognizing that he had that extra gear to really tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts on the 5Ks?
Just chaos.
Chaos. Straight chaos. Let's shift gears. We got to talk about the 3K. And let's start at the top of the dock here with Nico Young. This guy, I feel like, had a workout. He had a double. He had a 5K, 3K double here.
Yeah, we need to talk about this for a second. So we see Nico Young in the here you are. First off, can I mention, I don't think I've ever seen Nico have an extra kick like this before.
It was amazing.
He went from fourth. All of a sudden, he's kicking around, and he takes home his 3K win.
It's the pure determination in the face for me.
Yes, and he won in 7:37.73. Amazing time. And it just, again, a wild last kick. Kudos to Nico. He's been working on a kick for indoor, I guess.
He's ready.
Track.
But how, like, the double.
I knew we do need to talk about the
Let's
double.
Let's talk about the double real quick.
Obviously, we saw that this was happening, and then we watched the first heat of the 5K, where obviously we saw Graham Blanks do what he did.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we see the second heat go off.
I'm like, actually, that's Nico.
And I was like, wait a second. He ran earlier. And maybe I was thinking he was just going to pace this as, like, a workout or something like that.
I thought that, too.
Maybe this was a workout for him. Maybe 13:22 could likely only be a workout for him. But still, that's a, like an insane double.
Yes. Finishing 10, but still, the fact that he went 13-22,
I have a feeling
7:37.
Now, he's now going to be ready for a break.
What? The last 200 meters was insane. So yeah, Nico with the double, grabs the 3K win, pure determination on his face. However, I also, we have to talk about Olivia Markovic, who runs the NCAA number two all time in the 3K with an 8:40.42. Ashley, just what are our takeaways from this race?
I have a lot of takeaways here, right? I think it's pretty obvious here that Olivia Markovic, she is the real deal, mm-hmm. the real deal. And it also, let me try to explain this here. It makes me wonder, so she won NCAA steeplechase last year.
Yes.
Outdoors. We were there. We saw that happen.
Right.
Seeing how she ran this 3K indoors, now I'm like, all right, once outdoor comes around, mm-hmm. what is that 3K steeple going to look like?
Yeah.
And especially in a year where it's an Olympic year, mm-hmm. she could have a real legit chance to make that Olympic team going to Paris if she has that type of fitness and it can translate over to steeple come spring. I know that's a while away, but that was like one of my first thoughts that I had after seeing this.
Yes, and I know we're watching the video right now, and she's currently sitting in third. The top two, I know as the race unfolds, like they dropped out. They were pacers set up for this race. My takeaway is this: she's in top fit shape right now, and I know as we mentioned, they're coming off NCAAs, looking very, very strong, but I feel like Olivia just looked super comfortable, and with the pacing duties out in front, like, this was Olivia's race to win, and as the race unfolded, you just see her add that separation, which was absolutely nuts, and the fact that it was the number two all-time performance is just wild to even think about at the beginning of this year, too.
Again, crazy, just all-time performance is going down. We should have known this. It's BU.
It's BU.
Newly resurfaced BU.
I understand that, but these individuals are also, like, putting in
very
the work.
Very talented.
Very mm-hmm. talented, too. So I don't want to, like, take it away from them. I know the track is really big and known for putting out really fast performances, and there's other things that play into a role with it. But these guys are ready to go. Like, they're ready to attack every opportunity they can to compete. So any other thoughts on BU, Ashley? Because this meet was insane. 3Ks were wild. NCAA's
even the miles
down.
Were fast. I think the women's mile was in 4:33, and the men's mile was running 3:55. I mean, just, I don't know what to say.
Great,
it was just very fast. Very fast.
Speaking of very fast as well, the Valencia Marathon
yes.
also took place over this weekend. It occurred Sunday. It was 11 p.m. our time, Pacific, midnight, 1 a.m. Eastern. It was just nuts. Great performances. I think the biggest headline here was Josh Cheptegei marathon debut, and he holds the 5K and 10K world records, but found that the second half of this marathon to be very, very challenging. He was in that front pack at the beginning for that first half, coming in about 60:35, but finished with the 208:59 and had a drop away from that lead group as well.
Yeah, I think a lot was made about what is Joshua Cheptegei going to do since he has been so dominant at the 5K and 10K at world championships and such over the past few years. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's, you know, it's not always like someone's going to go out there and have like the debut marathon of their lives, right? Like,
right.
It's such a, you know, it is a big jump to go from
it's
5K, 10K to a marathon.
To a marathon, yes.
And
it's huge.
I think he can learn some lessons from this.
Absolutely.
I mean, he put himself up there in that front pack. He gave himself a chance, like he was going to go after something fast. And even then, like, 208 solid. You know,
yes.
I mean, it's not like the fastest. I mean, we're seeing 204 and below so common now. But I feel like this is something he can learn from.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I never see things as failures. I see them as lessons. And I think that might be just how my brain is, like, positively, like,
yeah,
stemmed. But it's like, I feel like if you don't give yourself that opportunity to toe the line and to put yourself out there, you're never going to know what you're capable of doing.
Yeah.
So I definitely applaud him for, you know, attacking that debut. And
but
as you mentioned, winning.
I was going to say, and even if you're looking at the results as a whole from Valencia, I mean, it was just a fast day in general.
It was
if you're
a very fast day.
At the women's race, you had Worknesh Degefa. She won in 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 51 seconds, which is the seventh fastest marathon of all time.
Yes.
Kind of going along with this trend of the fall that I think of seeing these women just, you know, set the standard, set that bar even higher.
Yeah.
for the women's marathon. Then if you're looking at the men's race, you had Tsai Lema, who won the London Marathon in 2021.
Yeah.
And he held off everyone and won in 2 hours, 1 minute, 48 seconds, which I believe was a course record. So
yes. And that's the fourth fastest in history, and also on top of that, led six other men under 2:05. Just incredible.
I mean, I expected something fast to happen in Valencia. Valencia is always fast, let's be real. It's like the kind of like that last marathon of the year that you're seeing that's going to be flat and fast. It reminds me a lot of Berlin in ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it's hard. I feel like we're in this mode, right, where just, it's like, oh my gosh, all this happened indoor. Oh my gosh, we still got marathons going on. All this happened in marathons. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
We're in a stage, I feel like, in the running, at least the distance running world, where obviously we're seeing, you know, the fastest things ever, you know.
Yes.
It's just, it's, the like I said, the bar is being set to a whole new level.
It's a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's beautiful in the sport, to just see it just continuously get faster and these athletes getting stronger. And of course, with new technology as well, with these shoes and things of that nature, just gets really interesting. I want to stay on this topic of marathons, because big news kind of broke out over this weekend. USA Track and Field may not follow the trials results when it comes to the third men's spot. Therefore, the U.S. might not guarantee three Olympic men's marathoners. That is huge. And I kind of want to know your thoughts. And I think to also just kind of give some context, like, World Athletics changed their standards from what they did in 2020 to 2000 for this upcoming Olympic year in 2024. It started out at a 2:11:30. They dropped it now to 2:08:10. And right now there's two guaranteed spots for the U.S. Like, let's just say,
because they have the standard. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to finish, let's just say hypothetically, they finish in the top two. Connor Mance and Clayton Young, they've already hit the standard. They did that at the Chicago Marathon in October. The next highest ranked American is Scott Fable, who's ranked number 61 based off of the
road. I think he's number 66.
Oh, 66, excuse me.
Yes.
Based off the Road to Paris list. And
you have guaranteed 64 spots on that list.
Yes.
To qualify. So he is on the outside looking in. And if you're looking at what happened, I think you were going to break this down, but when you look at what happened this weekend at Valencia, you had some others, I believe, that jumped that list.
Yes.
From other countries.
Exactly.
So now they're moving up the ranks. And so now it's like, oh gosh, now the U.S., like,
I don't know. What are our thoughts on this? Because also when you look into, like, the USA Track and Field language behind, like, how they're going to go about this, like, it's not really, in my opinion, it's not really that clear. To an extent. And it's also, you know, it's 23 pages. It's lengthy. I feel like this hurts our sport so much, because it's like you automatically think mentally, top three are going.
See,
but I also understand that there's this Olympic standard that you must hit.
It's one of these things where I get it, but I also don't. Because then it's like, all right, what's the point of doing the trials anyways? Because you're going to send Connor and Clayton anyways. And if that third spot, if no one's in it, and you're only going to send two, like, what's even the point? You know what I mean? It's like,
I hear you.
So I kind of have an issue with it for that reason.
It's like, if you already know we're taking Connor and Clayton.
So then it brings up the scenario, like, okay, so say Connor and Clayton blow up, or just, you know, decide to, you know, they don't get in that top three. Well, they have the standard and they have the world ranking, so they'll just go, well, I guess,
yeah,
according to the selection,
almost,
will they go through? I guess they will.
It's almost like a guarantee, because you have to, like, you have to hit the A standard,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you have to do that. And then, because just of how, you know, we do it here in the U.S., like, it's also that top three finishes, mm-hmm. you know? So it makes it even that much more challenging to be like, okay, well, if you don't have the standard and you get third, you're not guaranteed to go. And I think Natasha Rogers, when they were talking about this in her post-race interview at Worlds, they were talking about the selection process, and just like, is at one point something about her like not hitting the standard, and then I think she hit the standard at some point, so she was like, okay. But like, it's this whole process, and it's almost confusing, and it's not simple. It's like,
no.
Rankings are playing in, are now in play
again. It's just
going off
annoying.
Rankings.
Yeah. And so actually, so I'm looking in the live chat, I think you were right about 61, because now I'm reading, so he is technically 66, but if you remove the countries ahead that have more than three athletes already,
I see.
Does that make sense? So technically he's in the top 64, so I get that now.
Okay.
But anyways, again, that doesn't change the argument again. It's like, well, what if he finishes fifth? Does he still go? I guess he would still go because he technically is in the top 60.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the standard, but he's top 64.
Oh, sorry. My brain was like on.
There's a lot of moving parts here.
There's a lot of moving parts.
I don't know. It's just interesting.
It's very interesting.
And I personally don't know how I feel about it.
So it's almost like he has to hit the standard like at trials. That's the only way that this would make it not complicated.
But okay,
and then you have to finish top
let's
three.
Let's be real. Let's
but
be
I know.
Who is going to be hitting the standard?
That's what I'm saying. That's the only way. That's my point.
Orlando.
That's my
in
point.
In February.
That's my point. That's literally, that's the only, that is the only way that this becomes simple. Standard has to be hit at trials in February in Orlando, Florida.
I don't know. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I'm right there with you. That's why I'm like, it just makes this even more fun.
I just wish the USATF can make just things clearer. There's always issues, I feel like. There's always issues. Come on, man. Like, again, what's the point of the trials if you're just going to send the people that already have the ranking and the standard anyways? Mm-hmm. What's the point? I guess just for people to go run. Have fun.
Have fun. All right. Well, on a much lighter note... On a better note, USATF announced their athletes of the year. They had this huge celebration over the weekend. We want to highlight Sha'Carri Richardson and Noah Lyles for being the male and female athlete of the year. Let's talk about Noah Lyles first. Just an incredible season that he had. Three. That's all I'm going to say. Three. Just did a great
three.
Job winning the 100, winning the 200 at Worlds. Anchoring the 4x1 to victory. Just super spectacular about that. And then Sha'Carri, double wins here, earns the Female Athlete of the Year and the USA Track and Field World Championship Track Performer Wing Award, which was incredible as well. I'm not really surprised by either one of these picks. Are you surprised?
No. I'm not. I have a question here.
Yeah, ask the question.
I'm like looking back at the history of these awards. It's like, come on. It's always given to a sprinter, which I get it, but like, come
who
on.
Who else would you?
Come on, what about Ryan Crouser? He had like the year of his life outdoors.
Very dramatic end to it too.
Exactly. He's throwing through a freaking blood clot at Worlds, wins the World Championship. Come on. Like, what else does this guy have to do? That's all I have to say. I get it. Noah Lyles, you won your three. I'm not discounting that. But I just say, sometimes I do wish maybe we could see some more other athletes in the mix that aren't sprinters.
I see.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take. I see how it gravitates towards sprinters more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have had like a double field event, like field event athlete of the year, track event athlete of the year. Type of ordeal.
Yeah.
Share some love to like the field events.
Okay, I was looking back just now. I was trying to like look back through the history of the winners. 2022,
yeah.
Sydney McLaughlin.
Okay.
And Noah Lyles.
Okay.
2021, I'm still looking.
Okay, while you look at that. Also, huge shout out, just because I have the Instagram pulled up and this is the page where I'm at. Shaunti Jackson, who we've talked about before on the show, she's a freshman at Arkansas, won the Youth Athlete of the Year, set three national high school records, earned two Pan American U20 golds, and I feel like deserves that award too for all that she's done as the youth athlete. All right, with that
yes,
being said.
Yes, okay, wait, actually,
you have 2021?
So Ryan Crouser won in 2021. Okay, maybe I'm overreacting for no reason.
But I think it's fair, though, because, like, I think when you hear the story of, like, what happened to Ryan Crouser, how he was, like, debating, you know, whether or not he was going to compete or not, throwing with a blood clot.
What does he have to do? What does he have to do? That's all I'm saying.
Super incredible, though.
Someone said in the chat, it's because Crouser doesn't have a Netflix special on him.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
That's pretty funny. That's
oh,
pretty
man.
Funny. I mean, Noah Lyles got his whole Peacock segment, so
You did.
It was kind of maybe in the works.
I'm trying to think. On the lady side, who else would you have picked, though? For instead of Sha'Carri.
I mean, I guess you got to go with Sha'Carri. But it's also, it's just hard for me, right? It's like, you, obviously, she won the big one.
Yeah.
She won the big one.
Yeah.
I guess you would go with that, but I don't know. Sometimes I'm all about, I like consistency. I like a little bit. But also, it's one of those years where, Sydney didn't run at Worlds. If she had ran at Worlds, I think Sydney wins this award, obviously. What we saw her do in the 400 at Trials, mm-hmm. or not Trials, USA's.
Yeah.
If she had actually been healthy and ran at Worlds, she would have gotten this award.
You think so?
Absolutely. But that's just my personal opinion.
Interesting.
I mean, she's won it the past 2 years, so.
That's a great, I'm just trying to think of the year. With Sha'Carri winning the 100, third in the 2, being on the 4x1, Sydney would have been arguably 400 champ, probably on the relay. It would have been pretty tight.
Correct.
Sha'Carri would just have one up because of the 2. Unless, Sydney did something really, mind-blowing.
Also, maybe another scenario I could have seen happening, if a thing had won the world championship, she would have gotten this award. She broke her own American record at Prefontaine. Yeah. I mean, those are two double whammies. I think that's what, if that had happened, she would have won. But, I mean, there's always what-ifs.
There's a lot of what-ifs.
What could have, the could-haves.
The could-haves, the what-ifs.
I don't know. Again, that's just my mind. So I'm maybe it's because I'm not in the sprinting world. I know you are.
I know. See, for me, I'm Sha'Carri. But, what a thing, Mo, you said, what if?
Just the what if. The what if. The could have.
But still, great, great athletes across the board.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. So, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations,
I know I was just
everyone.
Being critical, but congratulations.
No, but I think it's great conversation to think about, what else, who else could have been an individual to receive this award, because the U.S. is just so dominant in athletics that it could have gone to different people.
Correct.
So I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, it was a jam-packed weekend. I feel like my brain is just about to explode.
It hurts. There's a lot going on.
There was a lot happening.
Should we briefly just mention NXN?
We should. Yes.
What did you enjoy about NXN?
Oh, man, it was raining the whole entire time. Mm-hmm. I think you and I were just very excited for the girls' race. It was...
Yes.
To see history like that be made was incredible. Colorado teams, 1, 2, 3 on the girls' side, from Air Academy to Niwot to Mountain Vista. I don't think we've seen 1 through 3 before. We've seen 1, 2 from different states over the last several years. Nothing with 1 through 3. Colorado went 1-2 individually with Addie Ritzenhine, who's a sophomore.
Goodness gracious. Watch out, Addie Ritzenhine. Dathan knows what he's doing, obviously. So
incredible. Bethany Mihalik had the race of her career this weekend. Again, as I mentioned before, she's had some ups, she's had some downs. But I told you when we were at the course, I was like, I'm praying history repeats itself, because she finished third last year having an up and down season, got second behind Addie. You can see the emotion in those ladies' faces, and it was just incredible to just see that history happen. Absolutely remarkable. And then everyone was talking about Danny Simmons and American Fork, and it just was not their day.
No.
Danny was kind of in the mid-pack and never essentially moved himself up to set him up to be that national champion. But JoJo Jordan, goodness gracious.
He took advantage.
He took advantage of the opportunity and did that. And also Mr. Neal as well. Really impressed with him. Top 3 finish there. But Harriman, it took NXN. To get the dub over American Fork.
Yep. So it was interesting. It was a fun time. Very muddy.
Yeah.
Very muddy.
I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of just... Oh, you asked me my favorite part. Okay. My favorite part was just seeing Colorado just be dominant. What was your favorite part about NXN?
I don't know. It was all good.
It was all good.
I like the upsets sometimes. Or not upsets maybe per se, but just some of the more unexpected storylines. emerge, and I think that's what happened. Nothing like exactly, it didn't go to plan exactly how everyone thought. Yeah.
We did have a chance to talk with an athlete, Sadie Englehart, who goes to Ventura High School in California, and she was like, if y'all have not seen the video, I need you to go look at the videos on our social channels, because it was just, it was a complete mud fest. It was muddy everywhere. There was essentially a pond that these kids had to run through. So I'm almost curious on like, so my point in this was saying, like, if Sadie was saying if the conditions were different, it would have been a different race. She was just like, the top people that you thought were going to be in the top were not there. Mm-hmm. So what would have happened if, like, let's just say it was not a rainy week in Portland, how that outcome would have changed?
Yeah. It would have changed, most likely. But instead we got very
soggy ground. Still, regardless, a great weekend of cross country. So we have one more cross country race of the year, and we can finally say we are.
Foot Locker will end the cross country season.
Foot Locker is going to end all of this. Indoor is amongst us. I'm pumped.
Speaking of which, we will have two indoor meets live this weekend, the Holiday Open and the Susquehanna Early Season Invite.
Perfect.
So make indoor, sure you stay. Indoor continues. We're in indoor now.
We're officially indoor. So make sure you stay to Flow Track for all of that content, live streams, all the things. Ashley.
Correct.
Great show.
Yes.
Fantastic show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe. Again, stay to Flow Track for all your content, live streams, recaps, everything that you need to know about your favorite sport. I'm Olivia Panay, Ashley Titians, and we will see you next week.